Graham, come on up. Graham's going to share the word this morning, and we're looking forward to him coming. Thank you.
Hi, Zoomers. It's good to see everybody. Isn't family wonderful? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for what you're doing this morning. Lord, I thank you for your presence. Thank you for your goodness amongst us. Thank you that we are family. We're here as your children, children of the King, princesses and princes, special people. Lord, we thank you that we could remember that great sacrifice that you gave for us. Jesus, you died that I might be forgiven. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Do you remember what I shared on January the 30th this year? Okay, what was it? So that's good. If you don't remember, I can say it all again. And it's value for money. You know, there's the story of the pastor that every Sunday he got up, he preached the same sermon. After a few weeks, someone in the congregation caught on. So I went to the pastor and said, how come you keep preaching the same sermon every Sunday? Well, when you start living by it, we'll change. Now, I'm not saying that my sermon's going to be that good, but, you know, sometimes if you're like me, you can listen to whoever's speaking and you say, wow, that was fantastic. I can't remember what it was, but it was good. You know, it's hard sometimes to take it in. What is it? What you hear, you only retain like 10% or something like that. What you see more, and the more we can combine it. I got to get back to doing slides again. Haven't done that for a while. It's always easy. We share it with the Zoom people, so you should get to see that as well. But anyway, the fact you don't remember is good. I can use the same verses. And it actually proves my point. What I'm going to talk about today is many of you weren't here on the 30th of January. You've started coming to this church since then. And just quickly, how many people have started coming this year or since 30th January? Yeah, there's a few of you around. There's some that came and then went again. Hallelujah. There's many here that have only come in the last year or 18 months. And the Lord is doing something special. The good thing is we like to think he's in charge here. So we never really know what's going to happen. We leave it to the Lord. We try and follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We listen to the wisdom of Scripture and the saints. And we just watch what God is doing. God is doing something special. And the fact you're here this morning means you're part of it. So today I want to talk about growing more. January the 30th, it was grow. And the reason I spoke on grow back then, each year as a church, for the last 5 years or so, we've waited upon the Lord. We saw this idea somewhere, and we wait upon the Lord. And listen, what is a key word? What are you saying to me for this year? And individuals do it. They go to the Lord and say, Lord, what are you saying to me for this year? And there's some amazing words that people get, usually just one word, sometimes a phrase. And throughout that year, they see how God brings that into their lives. And we've done that also corporately. And we listen to the Lord and think, Lord, what are you saying? Now, he says many things, of course, but sometimes it's useful just to stop and say, Lord, what do you want to do with us this year? What are you saying to us this year? And there was a sense that this year, the word is grow. And looking around, I can see that's what the Lord is doing. And it's amazing to see what he's doing and where he will take us in that. That was a key word, and we put on our website a verse that just summarizes that as a reminder of the word for the year as a church. And it comes from 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. This is in the Passion Translation. But continue to grow and increase in God's grace and intimacy with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May he receive all the glory, both now and until the day eternity begins. That's 2 Peter 3:18. And that's our key verse. It's on the website, as I say. And it reminds us we're to grow and increase in God's grace and intimacy so that he may receive the glory. And there is a lot of growing. And four areas we touched on then, and they're really important. You know, we need to grow in grace. And we need to grow in intimacy. Those are the two words right there from that verse. And that will look different for everyone. You know, how do you grow in grace? What does grace look like in your life? What does God's grace over you look like? What is intimacy? How do you grow in intimacy? You know, we're really talking about intimacy with the Lord. A father, a father-child relationship is intimate. In many cases, and I recognize that a lot of people don't understand that. And there's ways of release and healing for that. But generally, the intent of a parent-child relationship is intimate. And someone has said intimacy can be summed up as into me see. You know, that's probably a little too much for me. But, you know, if you're intimate with the Lord or intimate with a spouse or intimate with a brother or sister, then we're saying, I want you to look into me. I want you to see me as I really am. So that's growing in those areas. Grow in the Spirit. We can all grow in the Spirit and allow him to have more in our lives. Growing in giving. You know, we can give of ourselves. We had generous giving this morning. Let me just check. You're good. You're saved. You gave enough. No, I'm kidding. You can't be saved by giving to the benevolent offering. giving of ourselves, giving in what we do, it's good. And depending on where you are in life and in your spiritual life, you know, sometimes we wonder, have I finished growing? Some of us hope not, but I think it's probably the case. Can I increase in my faith? Has my faith stopped growing? You know, and depending where we are, if you're young, a lot of our young people we just saw go out, we prayed for them. The young ones still in here this morning. You're still growing. Commit now to be stretched and grow in kingdom work. Find ways to learn and engage with the Lord. Learn about him, read the scriptures, engage what he's doing. Yep. When you're young, you've got opportunity before you. You've got things you can press into. And those are really important times. Over the summer, we've had our four interns. And they have seen what it's like to be stretched. And they have seen what it's like to grow. And we're hoping and praying, and when we do see it, they're going back into September, back into school environments or work environments, wherever they're got lined up. They're going with a growth in them. They've seen that growing. So if you're young, press in, commit now to be stretched and to grow in your faith. A few of us are a little older, perhaps. Not many here. Most are young. Oh, don't ever look in the rearview mirror, wishing you'd taken a different route. It's too late. Look forward and continue to grow. The Lord had a plan. He knows where you've been. He knows what you've been through. He knows what you've done, your successes, your failures. He knows all that. He was with you every step of the way. Don't look back and regret. Now look forward. Let's grow in what we have left and press into that. Perhaps you're just starting a faith journey. I don't know everybody here. As Chuck told us, for sharing communion, two things. We need to be a sinner. Any sinners here? Oh, I'm glad we don't want sinners in this church. And you need to know that Jesus has saved you. He's cleansed you from that sin. And he said, you're forgiven because of what I did on the cross. If you're in that place, and perhaps that's new to you, maybe today was the day. Maybe right now you want to say, yep, I am a sinner. and I'm coming to Jesus. I want to start that journey. Well, get started on that journey. Press into it and learn, learn, learn. You're never too old to be saved. You're never too old to learn. You're never too young to be saved. Never too young to learn. So growing is really important. So we touched on a lot of that back in January and went through it. If you want to hear more on the verses, you can find it on the website. Biblical growth. Now, what does the Bible have to say about growing? So back then, there was four aspects that we identified. God gives growth. There's an expectation of individual growth. There's corporate growth as a church. And we grow in the gifts that we're given. First one, most important, is that God makes things grow. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 to 7 tells us what, after all, is Apollos? So we're jumping in to a bit of a dispute that's going on. You might remember the passage. There's some people in that church saying, wow, you know, I follow Apollos. He's the best preacher. He saved me. You know, oh, no, I follow Paul. He came from, you know, good background. And so Paul's writing and saying, well, wait a minute. What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? They're only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. We need to understand that. We serve, we do things. And it's interesting to note there in verse 5 that he says, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. So we've got to be working in the task we're given. And as we function in that, then the Lord brings the growth. And if we're not doing the task, is it right to expect the Lord to give the growth if we're not doing the task that he's given us? So let's just look at the scriptures that way as well and see. It's not, another scripture tells us that we're not saved by what we do. It's James saying this. It's not our works that save us. But once we're in the kingdom, once we are saved and made clean, then we show our faith by our works. You know, there's this fine balance between working and earning the kingdom and then working because of the kingdom. If we generate our own growth, you can. There's a lot of self-help methods out there. You can get videos and get books. You can go to courses. And you can generate your own growth. Nothing particularly wrong with that. We all need to be better people. We all need to learn how to do our jobs better. We all need to learn how to communicate. And all those sorts of things are good for us. I'm not saying we don't do that. But what we mustn't do is make self-help our spiritual growth. Only God can bring that growth to us. So focus on the Lord. These things have value, but don't replace the work of the Holy Spirit. The second one, there's an expectation in the Bible that we grow. And that we grow to be more like Christ. And 1 Peter 2, verse 2 tells us, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. That's talking to the new believers. But as you come to the kingdom, as you come to Jesus, then crave that food, crave that milk like a newborn baby does, so that you may grow and become mature. Colossians 1, verse 9 to 11 tells us, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. I love that. That verse, you know, can you imagine getting that letter in the mail? Ever since I heard about you, I've not stopped praying for you. Wow. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Do you pray that for other people? Could you send them a text and say, hey, ever since I met you, I've been praying this. Boom, boom, boom. I'd love to get a few texts like that. So that we may grow, growing in the knowledge of God, growing in understanding him and knowing the way he works, the way he uses, the way he builds his church. So the second one is, there's an expectation that we grow as part of our life in Jesus. Third one, we are to grow corporately and build the temple. Temple in quotes, you know, where the Lord can abide. And there's a lot. Let's say, go back to January. I'm not going to repeat it all there about building the temple and the coming together and the one new man. And all of that is really important to understand from these passages that talk about growing together. But we need to build the house, build the temple for the habitation of the Lord. Ephesians 2 verse 21 tells us, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. And that's not talking about these buildings being fitted together, because these buildings are just falling apart. What it's talking about is this building, the building of the people, the building of our relationships, the building of us coming together. It's that temple that's being built. That temple is the habitation of God, where the Lord can abide. Psalm 127, verse 1, it's come out a few times just recently. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builder labors in vain. So there again, you know, we're not talking about fabric. We're talking about the people. We're talking about the house of God. You know, it's interesting that Psalm 127 was, and it's not totally clear, but it was either written by Solomon or David wrote it for Solomon to give to him. It's one of the songs of Solomon. But it's for and it's about Solomon. So when you think, well, wait a minute, yeah, Solomon, he built that amazing temple. And you go and read the chapters in Chronicles and back in the Old Testament, Exodus and Kings, where the temple was designed by God and then Solomon built it. And the generosity of the people that came to do it and how much was given to make it the case. So here we're talking about building the house of God. A house, you know, sometimes we talk about royalty. And the word for King Solomon, of course, we're talking about the house of Solomon. You know, we talk about the house of Tudor. We talk about the house of Fraser. You'd only know that if you shop in London. Oh, you're Scottish. Any Frasers here I've just offended? Hallelujah. But we're talking about the house of God, the family of God, the generations of God, the royalty of God. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. And then the next part is about the family relationships. And then it goes on about having many children. You know, it's growth, it's increase, it's relationship. It's the Lord must build the house. And that's our corporate growth in the church. If man builds the church, it's just another organization. If God builds the church, it is the house of God. And the fourth one, grow in the gifts you're given. You must grow and be empowered in the gifts that you have, not the gifts that you want. Sometimes we wish we'd had a different gift, but God's given you some. Everyone has gifts from God, and there's more than one, and they change and they move around. But everyone is gifted by the Lord, and we must grow in the gift that he's given us. Because he's given you a gift because it relates to the gift that he's given someone else, so that together you can build the church. If you both moved into say, well, we're both this type of gift, well, then we're going to have a hole in the church. It won't build the way God wants it. So we must grow and be empowered by the Holy Spirit in the gifts that he's given us. And it's interesting when we read about gifts in the New Testament, it's also in there mixed in with it are the fruits of the Spirit. And remember, you receive gifts, but you grow fruits. We receive the gifts, but we grow our fruit. And we need to see that growth, more growth in me and probably in you. Don't have to if you think you're there. Galatians 5:16-25, and I'm not going to read it all. We went through it last time in detail, but just one verse there. But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. And then it lists all the fruits of the Spirit that we're very familiar with. But the fruit of the Spirit is divine love in its varied expressions. So what about WOCC, West Ottawa Community Church, growth at WOCC? As I was preparing for this, originally I was going to share something else this week, and then a couple of weeks ago, we got talking about some other things, and I felt it is appropriate to approach this topic this time, and if I get invited back, I'll do the other one. But because... As we move into September, people will see September as kind of a new season. You know, summer's over. Oh, don't say that. And schools go back. You get focused work. You've stopped your holidays and all those sorts of things. And we start thinking newness. And so as a church, we want to focus into growing more and more. And where does that mean I fit in? What does that mean to me? I grow personally, I'm working on that one, but what does that mean to me is growing as part of the house of God, part of West Ottawa Community Church. And as I was thinking about that, I got four I's, infusion, influx, institution, and involved. And very briefly, you can work it out quite quickly, infusion. It's an infusion of the Spirit. We need that. If there is an infusion of one thing into another, the first thing is added to the other thing and makes it stronger or better. It grows. There's an infusion. These are the dictionary definitions of the word. So we're just going to use those to make us think a little bit about what's the Lord saying about infusion. We can have an infusion of people. That's often talked about. A couple of weeks ago, we went to Kawartha Lakes for a trip, and a beautiful area. But you get to understand when you're there that in the summer, there's an infusion of people. In the winter, it's pretty quiet, apart from the winter sports that go on, of course. But you go to tourist resorts like that, in the summer, there's infusions of people. That's one of the words, one of the meanings of the word infusion. And we've been seeing, and we pray to continue to see, whatever it looks like, infusion. God sending the right people to be here amongst us because you have a purpose in his house and in his kingdom. The other word, a meaning for the word infusion is one of my favorites. Because we drink it, tea. Coffee. Tea is an infusion because we put the leaves in boiling water, and we allow the tea to infuse, and then we can drink it. And it made me think, infusion, we need to be soaking. Not in hot water, but we need to be soaking in the Holy Spirit. A while ago, soaking was a popular word. They'd have soaking meetings and things like that. Maybe we need to have a few more soaking times so we get the infusion of the Holy Spirit. While we soak the leaves in the water, the flavor and the essence and the bouquet come out and produce a beautiful cup of tea, which some people then spoil and put sugar in it. The next word, influx. You know, it's all part of this similar to infusion, but influx. Influx is coming in. Yeah, I got an influx of money. Wouldn't that be nice? Maybe we did. Let's check. An influx of people. God sends the increase to make the growth. And if there is a forceful flowing inward or coming in, you can say there is an influx. So we're looking for that increase that God sends. Third word, institution. Well, this is talking about a group of people, the church in many ways. You know, an institution is an organization or an establishment or a foundation or a society or the like devoted to the promotion of a particular cause or program, especially one of public, educational, or charitable character. You know, essentially, that's the definition of the church. Unfortunately, too many churches have maintained an institution and not become a family. And although we are institutionalized, we incorporated, we own property, we have to do taxes and all those sorts of things. You know, we function, we have a purpose, we have a mandate statement as a charitable organization to preach the gospel, to serve the community, and all of that. You know, that makes us the institution. But what we also must be is become a community, become a family. And we kind of function that way. Felt a little bit like family this morning. It's great when there's a need, someone just pops up and does it. You know, gets the opportunity to stand at the front, have your photo taken, prayed for with the offering baskets. But that's how family functions. You see a need, you go do it. You care about other people in the family, and we're there. So we are an institution, but as a family. And then the fourth word, involved. Involved through serving. If you are involved in a situation or activity, you are taking part in it or have a strong connection with it, says the definition. If you are involved in something, you give a lot of time, effort, or attention to it, it goes on. The things involved in something such as a job or a system are the necessary parts or consequences of it. So we need involvement. We need to be engaged. We need to be part of what's going on to see growth occur. And so those are the four I words I felt the Lord gave me for this morning. You know, infusion, influx, institution, and involved. And we can process through that infusion of the Spirit, influx of the people, institution of a church and family, and involved through serving. So how do we serve in the house? This is where everyone starts leaving. If something is going to grow, we need to prepare the ground and cultivate the plant. I thought it said planet for a minute. We need to prepare the ground and cultivate the plant. Worship is one way that we prepare the ground. When we come together, we don't have worship at the beginning because we like to sing. We do like to sing, but we start with worship because it puts our focus in the right place. But also importantly, and you may not understand or realize this, but the worship and the focus on the Lord prepares our hearts for the proclamation of His Spirit, of the Word. And it's in that preparation that we need to come before the Lord. We might come in with hard hearts. We might come in with sad hearts. We might come in with grief. But as we focus on worship, as we look to the Lord, our hearts are softened. The soil is prepared. And think of the parable of the sower. You know, when the Lord declares the proclamation on a Sunday morning, and it comes in many, many ways, it's not just a preacher, so to speak, you know, it comes in lots of different ways. But when the Lord proclaims his word, it can either land on rocky ground, or it can go through the whole range and land on good soil and bring forth fruit. And it's in that preparation that we see the soil prepared so that we can grow from the seed that's sown from the proclamation of the word. Just a couple of verses here to get us thinking a little bit around that. Galatians 5, verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. He's declaring us in the kingdom, we're free. And a lot of time they were talking to real slaves in the community at the time. But you know, don't indulge yourself in this freedom, but serve one another humbly in love. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. So in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Notice how every time Paul and the other letter writers get into talking about what you have to do, it jumps quite quickly into, because we want to give the glory to God. We want to praise Jesus. We want to declare his kingdom. You know, we don't serve because it makes me look good. We don't serve because I get brownie points. We serve because we want to exalt the King of Kings. 1 John 3, verse 18. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Colossians 3, 23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. And there again, even when they're talking to the slaves, you know, it's easy to grumble when you're a slave, and rightly so. But he's saying, whatever you do, do it with a humble heart. Do it as working for the Lord. So let's build the house. And I now move on to my other set of notes. To build the house, we all need to do something. And there's many things that can be done in a family. Some are very obvious, some are less obvious, but they're all really important. And this morning, what I want to do is encourage you to step up. Many of you, we know, have already stepped up, and it's so, so much appreciated. And nothing being said this morning is saying, hey, you've failed. You're not doing enough. What we want to do is communicate the need. There's more that needs to be done. And there's more people that perhaps as you come in, as you grow, as you become part of it, want to invest in the house of God here and in the growing that he's doing for whatever purpose in the kingdom. So if you want to be part of that, how many people here this morning? Let's have a couple of volunteers. Oh, I see one.
Let's pass one out to each person. Don't get money this time, just give them out. Oh, yeah.
So what's coming around now is a basically a list of the jobs that we need to do here as a church community. And If you're not a paper and pen person, that's okay. It's going to be coming out electronically as well. It'll be with the announcements probably tomorrow, and it'll come out as a separate email. Hey, there's going to be plenty of opportunity to volunteer. Don't worry. Also, you might be thinking, oh, the person I know should do that job isn't here. They missed it. Well, they will get the opportunity. Feel free to nudge them. But as I say, it will come out electronically as well. We mentioned it a few times. So on that sheet, it's two sides. The first side is, hey, I understand we do children's ministry as a good example. All right. I could help with that. I could be a teacher. I could be a helper. I could just do some administration. We do plan for protect and things like that. And you'll see those items listed with a little square box beside it. If you feel like you could do something or you'd like to do something, just check it off. And you can check as many boxes as you like. This is the fun thing about this quiz. You're not limited to one choice. And of course, just because you've ticked the box doesn't mean you'll get to do that. Because if everybody said they want to make coffee, then we might not need that many people. Just be willing to say I could do this and be willing to respond to an invitation when it comes. On the other side of the list, if you're wondering, oh, I wonder what that means, on the other side, there's a simple outline definition of what that task loosely involves. It will grow, it could shrink based on the people and what we do and so forth. But it just gives you a little bit of a taste, a bit of flavor of what the task is. So you're going to need a little bit of time. You're going to need pens. I was looking for the basket of pens. I don't know what happened to them. We used to have a big basket floating around somewhere. If you have a pen and you want to start checking it off, you can do that. What we do, one of our fantastic volunteers in the sound booth has got pens over there. And as you look at that, if you feel you can check some off today, you can either give it back to me later or just drop it in the offering boxes and we'll collect them all up. As I say, if you want to take it away and just take a little bit more time thinking and talk to the Lord about it, just don't use "I'm going to pray about it" as an excuse to do nothing. But as you go through it, fill it out later in the week and bring it back next week. Or you can just look at that and send an email to info@WCC and say, oh, I got the list. I think I could do this. And just list 2 or 3 or 15 different things you could do. Or as I say, when you get the email, you can do a reply to that as well. Lots of ways that you can engage with what's going on. And the point is spreading the load. Many of you are really gifted people, and just looking around, I see that. And I know where you function, I know what you do, and it's really appreciated. And the Lord bless you as you do that and bring favor into those situations. Maybe you're thinking, I would like to do that, but I've never done that before. I think I'd like doing it. Well, check it off anyway. And when someone talks to you, we'll find out how experienced you are or not. And if training is needed, for example, if you said to Roland, oh, I could do the soundboard. What's the soundboard? Then they would train you. And there's lots of videos online, and there's courses, and there's one-on-one training. So there's lots of things. If you wanted to make the coffee, Lyle, did you get trained in making coffee recently? There was a man wanted to help out and thought, I could help make coffee when we come in. Who drinks coffee when you come in? That's the guy to thank. And Ken, his partner. Ken's and Lois were away this weekend. But Lyle was trained Someone took time and said, this is how you do it. It's how you do the coffee. This is how you do it. You know, and maybe it wasn't as smooth at the beginning, but you've got it. I mean, you've persisted. Inside joke. That's a lot about that one. So there will be training. There will be ability, whatever. Let's just engage and get in there. I guarantee there's something on there that you would love to do. If you can't find anything on there, write one on. If you can't think of anything to write on, come and talk to me and I'll think of one. Or Chuck, or Val. Val's got a whole list of jobs. Yeah. But in the lack of a volunteer, it'll go to Val or perhaps one of the elders, and they do all the work. So we're trying to get some load distributed to gifted, wonderful people that want to see more growth, want to see our church grow, want to see us impact the world for the kingdom of God. All right. Anyone disappointed because you didn't get a form? Anyone happy that you didn't get a form? I'm not sure if there was enough or not, but try not to just forget it and go move on. If you didn't get a form, then a little later on, walk around. There'll probably be lots on the chairs. sorry, did that come out loud? Anyone can volunteer. Yep. Anyone can volunteer. The little children through to the oldest person. And, you know, the leadership will determine whether it's an appropriate person to do the role or not. There are appropriate methods and functions, and we're going to talk about these things at other times as well. The way we function. I mean, when you come together with new people and we're forming and creating a new family, we have to just talk a little bit and understand what are the family rules? How do we function here as a family? And a lot of people say, well, I didn't know you did that. I mean, Chuck mentioned it this morning, but a lot, often people leave and say, well, how do you give money here? You have to come to communion or something, you know. We have our ways of doing things, and we want to try and communicate some of those to you and give you the opportunity to serve in it. So let's wrap it up there. You know, it's all about us being able to grow ourselves and grow in the Lord. That's the most important part. But the Father has also shown us that he wants to grow this community. And as we grow spiritually, we grow in relationship, but we also have to grow in serving. And if you're able to do that, bless you. Thank you so much. Please, 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 no pressure. Yeah, I don't want to make this a guilt trip much. And stop that. It's not about guilt. It's about serving our Father. It's serving God and seeing what he can do because I'm willing to step up a little bit and do something. The more that do it, the better it will be. So let's pray. The worship team want to come back, and unless Chuck, you have something. Yeah, Scott and Barbara, Glenda. And then we'll close with a song. But Lord, thank you that the church is living. Thank you, Lord, that you've formed the church. You put life in the church and you grow your church. As we often hear, no weapon formed against the church will prosper. Your church will storm the gates of hell. Your church will be the bride, the beautiful bride for the coming Son. And Lord, we're so grateful that you've called us to be part of your family. Thank you, Jesus. Again, we're so amazed and awed that you gave your life for us on that cross. You shed your blood in pain and death that we might be forgiven. You rose again victorious because death has no victory. Death has no sting, but you are victorious. We thank you, Jesus. And we thank you that Holy Spirit, you've been shed abroad in your church to bring the power of the kingdom into the world. So Lord, as we see ourselves part of that amazing story, part of that amazing family that you've created, Lord, our hearts say, how can we serve you? How can we be faithful ministers in your calling? And Lord, today we wait upon you and ask you to gift us and to build us together into your house so that your kingdom will come into this city, into this nation, in power and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Thanks, Scott.